intuition.
Curiosity.
The next idea.
There is no straight path from your seat today to where you are going. Don't try to draw that line. You will not just get it wrong, you will miss big opportunities.
How do we knit a better mitten? Our latest contributor to The Next Idea believes that we can look to nature for inspiration as we work to improve infrastructure in Michigan, energy, water, food, organizational. Matthew Grokoff is back with us. He's founder of Thrive Collective and also an advisor to the University of Michigan Blue Lab Living Building Challenge Team. Great to see you back here, Matthew.
Thanks for having me, Cindy.
We last talked with you about your ideas for radically rethinking our water systems, and now you're kind of back to expand that thinking to pretty much all of the human design systems that we rely on. What is the guiding principle behind your thinking on our human systems? We're talking about food, energy, water, political.
Yeah, it's basically, it narrows down to the simple questions like, what would nature do, right? Are we seeing these designs in nature? And the principle goes back to this idea from Janine Benyus called biomimicry. And so it's basically design inspired by nature. If we take a look, like we talked last time, about our water systems, this linear top-down system with straight pipes, and we say, does that system look anything like that? Does nature do anything that resembles that? And the answer is no, it doesn't. Nature does these distributed systems, these decentralized systems. They're bottom-up, they iterate, they're filled with diversity. This oversimplistic design in nature, we found, is actually an indicator of disease. So the rules become very, very simple. Oversimplicity, radical simplicity, fails in nature. And diversity and complexity thrive in nature. So then the question becomes, is what can nature teach us? How can we be good students of nature to design systems that create this complex adaptivity that we're looking for to create a healthy system?
So radically simple solutions are designed to fail.
They're not designed to fail. They just do.
But if we're designing them to be radically simple from top down, then inherently we're not intending them to fail, but the design will fail.
Yes, because what it does is it gives us this illusion of control. And complexity actually is a little scary. It brings uncertainty. But what these simple solutions like our energy systems, our food systems, our water systems, when we centralize them, when we have three companies or a single company running the entire system, they become oversimplified schematically and they feel very secure. We get this illusion of security. But the reality is that they're not, and they're very vulnerable, and they're destined to fail. And we're seeing that now with our aging water infrastructure, with our energy infrastructure. We've got an energy infrastructure that is controlled by a couple of monopolies in Michigan that was granted over a century ago when those monopolies seemed to make sense for the technology that was available. We are a century beyond that technology now to where we can have distributed ownership. We can have distributed production. The technology is all there where many, many people can be owning and innovating with energy projects in a way that a single company can't.
What would that look like on the ground? Like how would it be different if we could have this type of, let's talk about energy, and this kind of bottom-up, naturally designed energy infrastructure? What would it be like?
Well, we're already starting to see these systems develop, you know, in Germany and, in fact, with the United States military, with individual companies, with corporations like, Walmart and people who own lots of real estate and things. They're starting to realize that they can build all the technology is there to build what they're calling microgrids. So these microgrids are things that are not off-grid structures. They're things that work together. And what we could do eventually is we can start seeing these neighborhood microgrids developing, not just municipalities, but even smaller scales. Mm-hmm. It's not about a single home or a single business going off-grid, because nature doesn't do off-grid. Nature does on-network. It's about creating the tools inside each one of those buildings where the infrastructure can be connected to the next building and the next building to where you start getting this beautiful, complex, adaptive system. And if any single part of it fails, it's a very local failure, and it fails gracefully.
I love that term in your essay, fails gracefully, as opposed to a spectacular failure.
I'm sure I got that from a TED Talk somewhere.
Yeah, but it really does tell us kind of what you're trying to say about looking at it this way, with a graceful failure as opposed to what we've seen in Flint.
Absolutely. Flint is a tragic example of how these systems can go wrong. And the way we're trying to solve that problem now is even going back to the old system. Let's just keep repairing the old thing.
Yeah.
And again, what would nature do? Does it do the same type of repair? And it doesn't. What it does is when something fails like that, it moves on to the next thing that works. And in Flint, we're just going back and saying, let's just repair all the lead pipes. Let's just put this chemical into the water. Oh, well, that chemical causes X, Y, and Z. Well, then let's put this other chemical to solve that problem. And as we keep layering and layering these solutions, we're getting more and more problems, and they're not solving the underlying problem of the schematic design itself, of the system design. Our challenge is to learn how to design from Google Street View on the adjacent level the way that nature does, rather than from Google Satellite Map, trying to design the system as a whole from the top down.
This is The Next Idea, and we're talking with Matthew Grokoff, who's the founder of Thrive Collective, and also he's an advisor to the U of M Blue Lab Living Building Challenge team. And the last time you were with us on The Next Idea, you talked about your own house essentially making its own fresh water. The fact that it's your house seriously puts some skin in the game, since whatever innovations you try, that affects you directly. So what's the next house project that you want to learn from?
Well, first of all, every house project I want to learn from. So the next thing we're doing with Blue Lab is obviously the net zero water that we talked about last time. Yeah. But the real challenge is not the technology, because the technology we know was already there. So it's not experimenting with this component or that component. It's experimenting with ideas of where do we go next? How do we create, again, a complex adaptive system? If we're not going to design from top down, how do we create the platform of rules that allows us to innovate and move forward with each new thing and let go a little bit of that centralized control?
Especially since that sticky problem of money and funding often rears its head.
Absolutely. So what happens in these systems, though, is that you can have infinitely repairable systems that can scale to size. If we try to take Flint at a fraction of its population and reconstruct its existing water infrastructure, you'd be constructing a water infrastructure that's designed for a population that's much larger. Again, nature doesn't do things like that. Nature says, how do I get you water, this individual organism, this individual home, this individual business? And then what answers that question, it moves on to, how do I get your neighbor? How can your neighbors work together with you? And then eventually, as that system scales, and we have the technology to do this, take simple things that they're using out in rural areas, like simple filtration systems with carbon and UV light, rainwater harvesting, gray water capture and reuse systems, are starting to use technology and engineering in the same way that nature does. And it's extraordinarily exciting to think about the possibilities. So one of the things we're trying to challenge the students is that, again, we're not trying to take our house off grid. We're trying to figure out, if this house is capable of doing itself, then how can we make it more beneficial to our neighbors and to the community? As Janine Benyus talks about, in order to thrive, nature has to be putting back more ecosystem services than it's taking away. I would say that by definition, thriving must promote thriving. Hmm. The challenge for these students now is to figure out, then what is the next step? How can we scale this to the neighborhood scale? All of the technologies are there to do it. We have to do it. So if we wanted to go into Flint and have a few houses up and running within a few weeks, we can do that. Sure, there's a cost to that, but there's also a cost, an incalculable cost, to the centralized system and trying to repair that. And in the benefit is that in this distributed system, if any small part of it fails, it's localized. It's not a catastrophic failure. And we learn from that and we move on to the next one. We don't repeat that same mistake again in someone else's home or someone else's business.
Now, going beyond Flint, and let's just talk about everyone who's listening to our conversation right now all throughout Michigan. What kinds of things do we have control over? I mean, we certainly saw, Lansing trying to fix Michigan's roads and what's become a big political hot potato. But what can we do as individuals in our homes that would be a step toward living more lightly in our homes, our apartments, and kind of following through this idea that you've got?
Well, honestly, that's the real challenge. There's plenty of academic knowledge about how to recreate a better energy system or a better water system, and there's the economic models there to do that. The challenge is we also need a decentralization of our ideas, a decentralization of democracy. And this is the direction that we're beginning to move around the world. You see organizations like Zingerman's or Google who are doing these distributed, getting the ideas as close to the adjacent level as possible. Get that local knowledge into every decision that is made. Again, that's how nature does it. When we centralize control in Lansing and we tell cities that they can't have ordinances about this, or in Texas, they're telling cities that you can't ban fracking, you can't do this. Those local people know what is best for their community, and there's more innovation. And what we're doing is we're stifling innovation in the U.S. and in Michigan that we're seeing very, very differently out in Europe, in places where communities are able to come up with their own ideas that are working for those communities. That's the real challenge, is how do we create the platform for distributing ideas?
How do we? I mean, do you feel sometimes like that voice crying in the wilderness, like, look, pay attention. I think I've got something that we could really radically improve our lives.
Yeah, there's a lot of work in this area, yeah. And we'll have to have a whole nother conversation about how we distribute ideas and democracy. There's things like participatory budgeting. Right now, Finland is actually crowdsourcing legislation.
Yes, we've actually
talked
about that.
They're using these extraordinary terms. Yep. And so one of the challenges there is that we're afraid of creating more ideas, because more ideas means more arguments. So if we allow someone to go to city council and come up with some crazy idea, well, that's something we don't have time for. So we want to centralize control of those ideas. But the reality is that if we can get more of those people on there and empower people at that local level to bring forward these ideas, then on average, we will be getting better ideas than are coming from these central powers. Innovation will happen more, we'll get more iteration, we'll get more adaptation, and frankly, more success, because we're bringing diversity to the table in a way that just does not exist in our political process right now.
Matthew Grokoff is the founder of Thrive Collaborative and also an advisor to the University of Michigan Blue Lab Living Building Challenge Team. You'll find his essay on the Next Idea page at michiganradio.org or on Michigan Radio's Facebook page or on Twitter at NextIdeaMI. And as always, we welcome your comments. Food for thought, Matthew. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. And we'll talk about food another time, too.
There you go.
Support for the Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.